I'll be reading from Luke 17. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except for this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well."
Good morning. Great to see everybody today. Lots of visitors. We're proud that you're with us and invite you to be back. Lots of familiar faces with us today and several folks out. I know it is graduation time and soon to be wedding time and lots of things going on. It's a full day today at Milton. We've got nursing home this afternoon and then meetings this afternoon and project work tonight. So just come be with us today and we'll have lots of good times together and hopefully we'll work to do things that will certainly help glorify God in our lives and in our community. For those, I don't think we have any graduates in our group, but I know we do of our families, and that's a great time. I know that we've had graduations around the county almost every night this week. I think there were 3 Friday night and a couple yesterday. So just lots of those things that are going on, and those are big times. We're going to talk this morning for just a few moments. Story from Luke chapter 17, and this is not a parable. It's actually an event recorded from the life of Jesus about 10 men who encounter Jesus who have a disease, who have the disease of leprosy. And they know who Jesus is. As he is passing through along the border between Samaria and Galilee. So he is to the north. And so he would be in the southern part of Galilee. Because if you will remember from your maps, you have Galilee to the north, where the Sea of Galilee is, and then in between is the area of Samaria, and then to the south is Judea, where Jerusalem is. And so Samaria kind of sits smack dab in the middle, and you'll remember that the Samaritans were a race of people, or actually a mixed race of people, who stayed in the area and intermarried with the Assyrians when they captured Israel, when they captured Palestine. And so they were a mixed race and were forever then resented by the Jews because of their mixed race. And they had continued in worship that actually goes back to the time of Jeroboam and Rehoboam, when the kingdom splits between the northern and the southern kingdom. And for those of you who are doing our daily Bible reading, we're going to get to that pretty quickly. And because of the political split between the kingdoms to the north and the kingdoms to the tribes of the north and tribes of the south, the king of the north said, if the people continue to go to Jerusalem, which is in the southern kingdom, and worship, then they will feel an attraction and a loyalty to Jerusalem, so began to worship away from Jerusalem and on Mount Gerizim. And that's where the Samaritans continued to worship. And it becomes a question in the time of Jesus when he meets the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well. You remember she will ask about where the true followers of God will worship. So the Samaritans then had not worshiped in Jerusalem, partly because of race and partly because of heritage that predated even the Assyrian captivity. So we've got this group of people, and we've got a Samaritan who is running with this group of Israelis, or Israelites, Jews, and they have leprosy. And they're along the border because they're outside of the city. And the reason for that is, it's part of the law. If you have the disease of leprosy, you're not able to live with other people. You are cast out, if you will, from the group, because, well, it was part of the law, probably because leprosy is contagious, but because God had said, if you have leprosy, you're to live outside. There's a spot, you'll remember if you've been reading that, if you have a spot, you take it and show it to the priest, and they make the determination. So these individuals have been determined to have leprosy, so they're away from their family, from their homes, they're cast out, really, from society, and they're then joining groups that have leprosy. And they were to warn people from a distance that they had leprosy. So they would cover their faces and would yell, actually, unclean. You can imagine the kind of the humiliation of that to being an outcast and having leprosy. Plus, leprosy as a disease would take on many different stages, but in its severest form, when you had leprosy, your flesh on your body would literally grow numb and then begin to deteriorate on your body, and it would be a very slow thing. The reason I share that with you, they're outcast from community, from family, from friends, and have a disease that very likely was progressive and would be deteriorating, and you can just imagine at your extremities, at your fingers and toes, to start where you would lose feeling, which would be bad enough, but then the flesh itself would start to deteriorate. And that's the disease that these 10 individuals had. For us really to understand this story, these events in life of Jesus, we need to understand the situation that they find themselves in. And they know who Jesus is because they will cry out to Him, Jesus, Master, and desire for Him to bring healing to them. To bring healing. Why? Well, one, from the ravages of the disease, from being social outcast. I mean, they were wanting to be restored to their health. And who can blame them? Who can blame them? And so Jesus tells them to go and show themselves to the priest. Now why? Well, that was part of the law. If you've had leprosy, then you were to go, if that was cured, if it was healed, if you had a skin disease, which leprosy is, then you would go show yourself to the priest, and the priest would make the determination if you were clean and were able to come back into society. And so, Jesus doesn't immediately heal them, but He tells them to go show themselves to the priest. And in an act of faith, they do. And on their way to the priest, they realize they have been healed of their leprosy. That their leprosy, their disease, is gone. Man, can you imagine the reaction, the joy that they have that their disease has been healed? Just put yourself in their place. Put yourself in their place. That you've got this disease, and you've got the dread of the disease, and you've got all that goes with the disease. You haven't been able to be with your family, to enjoy the things, the graduations, and the weddings, and the Mother's Days. And I share that because, I mean, that was part of what they're going through. And on their way to the priest, they are healed. And then we remember, in a special way, the one who is a Samaritan, who was one of the outcasts, really, from certainly Jewish society, not from their own society, but from Jewish society, that comes back and thanks Jesus for healing him. And Jesus asked the question, well, weren't there 10 of you? Where are the other 9? He doesn't know where the other 9 was, but he comes back and thanks Jesus, and Jesus tells him that it is his faith that has made him well. His faith that has made him well. I want us to gather just a couple of 3 lessons from our story this morning, and I'll be kind of quick. You're welcome. One, sin, like the disease of leprosy, is devastating. And it's important for us to realize that. I said it's important for us to put ourselves in the place of these 10 men to imagine where they were, what the situation was that they were into, and why it was so important that Jesus healed them and what it meant to them. I mean, just imagine, because we rejoice, and we have over the last few weeks gotten the word from those we've been prayerful about that the test has revealed that they're cancer-free. Man, what a relief that is. What a blessing that is. But imagine that your leprosy is gone. The deterioration of your body has stopped. You're going to be able to go back and resume life. The little things that you used to take for granted that had been taken from you because of this disease were going to be restored. you know they're rejoicing. And I'm sure the other nine were so excited that they go and show themselves to the priest in the anticipation of returning home. But one man comes back because he is thankful for what the Lord had done for him. But the disease of sin, and we rarely call it a disease, but it's probably not a stretch, has consequences just like leprosy, but they are much greater. It's interesting that, as we've studied and talked about and know, that death and sickness themselves are the result of sin, right? Because sin is in the world and we're under a curse. Not that everybody who's sick has done something wrong, but that we just, it's the consequences of living in a world under a curse, a world that's fallen. And death has come because of sin, just like God told Adam and Eve that it would. And John sees the time after Jesus returns when we're in the heaven that God has prepared for us where sickness and dying are no more. The former things, John will tell us, will have passed away. We won't deal with those anymore. But they had been healed from their disease, and sin is a disease that robs us of life and of joy and of the promise of a future. Right? We need to think about that, because sin is expensive. It cost Jesus life. It cost God His Son. It brings death and destruction. We have problems in families, in our work, all of those things as a result of sin. And so we see why they rejoiced over the healing of their disease. And I want us to think that, you know, what has God done for us in the healing of the disease of sin and its consequences? Because what God has offered us through the death of His Son is the forgiveness of sins and the healing of the disease. Now, do we still live in a world that's fallen? And this is an important question. An important question. We do. And so what does that mean? Are there still consequences of sin that God's people still deal with today? The answer to that question is yes. But are God's people, through the blood of Jesus, forgiven of sin, and we have the hope and the promise of resurrection and life eternal where the former things are gone? Absolutely. Do we have the promise of returning back into a right relationship with God? Yes, from not being outcast and not having the consequences of sin, which is eternal death, eternal punishment. And what a rejoicing there should be on our part to realize, just as Jesus healed them, what Jesus has done for us. These folks were outcast. Sometimes we feel outcast or feel like we have a disease of sin that's so detrimental that we have done things that are so bad or for so long that there's no hope of healing. There's no hope of redemption. But we know that's really not true. That Jesus came and paid a sacrifice that we might be redeemed. The Apostle Paul would say, I'm the chiefest of sinners. Persecuted Christians. I drug people out of assemblies. Had people put to death for the simple reason they were Christian. Paul knew he was forgiven. The sins of David, of all of the great men and women of the Scripture who had sins in their lives, the Lord forgave them. And the blood of Jesus brings healing for us. No matter how advanced the disease, there's healing for us when we turn to God. And we come to God in faith. Because Jesus said, what had made them well? Their faith. Jesus had healed them, but they believed that He would. Because they acted when Jesus told them, didn't He? They acted when Jesus told them. The sacrifice of the cross is sufficient for all of us. Not only in this room, but around the world. But not everyone will act on it. Not everyone will avail themselves of it. Not everyone will say, I'm going to turn my life back toward God. I'm going to walk in His ways. And I do believe that Jesus is His Son, and I'm willing to confess that and live in a way that honors God and to have my sins cleansed in the waters of baptism. But there is healing for that disease for us. and we should be thankful. And we can imagine the rejoicing. I can just imagine the rejoicing of these people and their families. Just think about it. Your family member who you aren't really able to see except maybe to holler at from a distance is coming home. Wouldn't that be a great time? Now don't think about family members you would be glad that weren't coming home. That just ruins the illustration. But someone you loved and cared about, a parent, a child, a spouse, a brother, a sister, who were able to come back home, who were healed, who you had been worried about, and they were able to come back home. Imagine how joyous that would be. What a great day that was, as those 10 men were able to return back home and to be healed. Do we rejoice enough when our sins are forgiven? When one who is lost returns to God? When we think about what God has done for us in the giving of His Son, that we might be cleansed, so we don't have the dread of death in eternity, but we have the hope and the promise of life. It's easier for me as a human to think about the rejoicing over someone whose illness, physical, that I can see so much easier is healed, gets to return home. But how much greater for all of us to be forgiven of sin. And what rejoicing there should be in that every day, because our whole future changes. Instead of dreading death, we get to look forward to resurrection. Instead of bemoaning aging, which comes to us, we can say it is a part of life, but better days are coming. Instead of being completely devastated by our defeats, we get to look forward to greater victories. Instead of the dread of punishment, we get to look forward to the rewards of God. What great rejoicing there is for all of us as God's people in our future, and that the promises of Jesus are available to all those who will believe and accept them and repent. And then the faith of those individuals to act on that. And then I want to talk for just a second about the one who came back, who said thank you. I am sure they were all appreciative. Every one of them. It was a day they never forgot. Because again, this is not a parable. These are events in the lives of Jesus. There were 10 men who were healed. It was a day they absolutely never forgot. Because everything for them changed. But one of them took the time, in the midst of his rejoicing and in his gladness, to come back and give thanks to Jesus. And I think about that individual often. We don't know his name, not given to us. But I think about him. Because how often do we pray and God answers our prayers? How often, for all of us, do we have forgiveness? And we are thankful for it, but sometimes we forget to stop and say thank you to God. To just pause and say, Lord, I have been prayerful about this, and you have answered that prayer, and I want to be thankful. How often are we just thankful to God for His goodness? Even when prayers are not answered in the immediacy or in the exact way we want them to be answered, are we still thankful to God for His goodness and His benevolence to us and His love? Because I know we all know it and feel it, but how often do we stop and say thank you to God? I don't think that it's insignificant that it was a Samaritan that came back and said thank you. I think there's a significance. And I don't think that this story is repeated for us just to bring a unity between the Israelites and the Samaritans, although it probably played a role because we have the story of the good Samaritan. But I think the significance for me in this is the Samaritan probably came back to Jesus because maybe he appreciated it just a little more. Because he had been away. He was a Samaritan. And he knew that. And he knew the prejudice and felt a separation from Jerusalem and from the temple and probably some separation from God Himself. But when Jesus, God's Son, came and brought healing to him, he recognized that even though he was undeserving, that God had brought healing to him. And I think it's important for all of us to recognize that even as God's people and the children of God and the great blessing that is, to never take for granted the blessings of God. To never think they're something that we just deserve, or never let them become ordinary. But that we open our eyes to all that God does for us, and that we take the time to be thankful. Because I know they were all thankful. I have no doubt about that. They all rejoiced. They were all appreciative. I think that in a special way, the Samaritan realized what a great need he had and what God had done. I wanted to talk as we began about, I told you I was going to be done early and I'm going to quit in just a minute. I know, Linda, I can see the clock. I ain't going to lie to you. I want to talk about the significance of the disease of leprosy, because it's not just about a skin disease and it's not just about being outcast, but it was something that continued to progress. It was serious. And the reason I shared that with, in so many ways, they were thankful for that healing. And I think it's important for us to remember how devastating the disease of sin is. Because the greatness of the sacrifice of Jesus was so large and so powerful that it brings about forgiveness for us, that sometimes it's easy for us to forget how devastating sin is. But just imagine what life would be without the sacrifice of Jesus. If you could just say, where would I be had God not sent His Son? If that price had not been paid for me, then I am going to stand before God giving accounting for all the things that I have done, right and wrong, all the things that I should have done that I didn't do. And realize that the consequences of sin is death. And then to realize that Christ truly paid that price for us. Just like the lepers, they knew that their life was not getting better, it was going to continually get worse. And all of a sudden, the healing of God brought change. When we realize the consequences of sin, and that the death of Jesus and the grace of God has brought tremendous change for us, it is a time to rejoice and to be thankful. Be thankful to God for the great things He has done, and for Jesus who willfully gave His life for each one of us. What a great blessing we have. And what a great thing that we can share with those around us, the healing of the disease of sin and all of its consequences, that we can be healed. If you're not a Christian today, if you've not been healed of the disease of sin and its consequences, Jesus died for you. He gave His life on the cross that you might be forgiven and stand before God justified, not because of our own goodness, but because of the goodness of His Son. We'd encourage you today to come and confess the name of Jesus and be washed in the waters of baptism. For those of us who are Christians, you may need to come today with a special prayer request of prayer. Or maybe you need to come confessing sins and having our shepherds pray for you. We'd encourage you to do that. But for all of us, I would encourage us today just to stop for a few moments and just be thankful. Be thankful to Jesus that He suffered the pain of the cross and the consequences of sin for us, and to God who gave His Son out of His love and mercy, that you and I might have hope and redemption and have a day that we can rejoice because of the goodness of God. If you need to come in a public way, would you do that while we stand and sing?